Very hard for me to sing. I cannot sing very well, so, but I love singing. But I think, do you have just a chorus that we could sing, Brother Mike? This old world can never hold me any moment. I'll be gone, for I have made my consecration. And I have my wedding garment. Oh, this old world, this old world can never hold me anymore. Gone, for I have made my consecration, and I have my wedding garment on. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we are so thankful this morning, Lord, for your grace and your mercy upon us, Father. I can see how great that grace is unto us, Father, especially on a morning like this, driving on the roads and seeing all the whole country nearly going to a football stadium, Lord, to watch a soccer match. Yet, Father, oh God, you have taken those desires out of our hearts, Lord. And you have given us desires of things that are heavenly. Father, it isn't that we are better than those people, but you have been merciful unto us, Lord. We so much thank you, Father. And we pray that you help us now, Father. Oh God, as we gather in this place, that you may speak unto us, Father. You may give us something, Lord, that will prepare us, Father, that when the hour comes, surely there will be nothing in this whole world, Lord, that will hold us back. But that will be raptured and that will be found in the place where you are, O God. Bless your people that are on the way, each and every one of them. Many sending requests for this and that, Lord, we pray for them. Father, may you be glorified in the lives of your people this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you, saints. I would like to speak on a small topic today. Honor thy father and mother. So we want to turn in the Bible to the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 12. This is the place where Moses was given the commandments by God in the mount. And we want to read on verse 12 of Exodus, chapter 20. And the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God given thee. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It really sounds like a scripture we could read for the children upstairs, you know, when you're teaching your children at home and say, honor your father and mother, but then to read it in the congregation here, it may seem like it's a little bit out of place, but we want to look at it in a certain way that I trust will help us to look at certain things in a different way. If we turn again to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 8, I would like to read. Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. You may be seated, saints. So again, it's almost like the very same scripture we have read over there,
where Solomon is speaking to his son to say, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of your mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace, an ornament like a crown or something on your head, unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. In this world we live in today, when people want to show off their wealth or something, they do put chains about their neck. So this thing of honoring your father and mother and keeping the law of your mother, Solomon is saying to his son, keep it and honor it, because it will be an ornament of grace unto you. Previously in the book of Exodus, the Lord is talking to Moses, say, go and tell those children to honor your father and your mother so that it will be well with thee in the land that the Lord has given thee. So many times in this world where we live in now, when the scripture is read and we hear what God tells us to do, many times, because the people of this world don't even pay heed to the word, many times we can look at it at a wrong angle to think that the commandments of God, why should I have to honor my father and mother? When we say thou shalt not kill, I think everybody nearly agrees with that. But there are certain things that God has put in his word that when we repeat them to our children, it can seem like it's a grievous thing for them to honor mother and father. Why should I honor mother and father? Why should I follow church order and doctrine? Why does the prophet have to say these kind of things, you know? So we can look at those things as if they are commandments and God is trying to restrict us and take away our freedom, and then we are just miserable people living day to day without joy, and how come those other people going to the stadium can be so happy, you know? And we feel like we are restricted, and why should the sisters have to dress a certain way, and why can't brothers do this and that and that? We can look at that, at those commandments like that, because we are human beings. But God never gave them for that reason. God never gave his commandments so that we can feel restricted or put down or our freedom taken away. He didn't do that. He did it for your good and for my good, because God is infinite. God knows the end from the beginning. He knows that if you follow this path, it will lead you to a certain place. Just like you as a father and as a mother sitting here, you have seen a lot in your life. You have had so many experiences in your life that when Hannah is growing up and she tells me that, Dad, this is what I want to do, I'm going to give her advice based on my experience, because I know that if Hannah takes this road today, it will lead to a certain place. That's just the way it is. If I take today M1, it's going to lead me to Bow Brigham. I cannot ever take M1 thinking that I want to go to Kilkenny. It won't take me there, you know. So God knows the very end from the beginning. Before it even happens, God knows that it will be good for your children to honor their father and mother. Because the father and mother has got something in them that God has deposited. I'm talking good father and mother, because in this world today there are some people that have no business being father and mother. But I think that all sensible Christians are good father and mother, and they want what is best for their children. The prophet gives an example of a little boy wanting to shave with a sharp razor. Say, Daddy, give me that so that I can also shave myself. The father would never do that, because he knows the boy is not skilled enough yet to handle that razor. It will cut her. It won't do her any good. So the father would say, no, you cannot have this. And if the child then says, my father is restricting me, I have no freedom and joy to play with a razor, that would really be a foolish son. But God, he puts these things for us, and we are so happy that he has put them for us there, because they keep us from the way of trouble. And really, the word of God is very, very true, because every time he says something, it comes to pass. And every time he gives a promise, we see those promises come to pass. But every time he gives a commandment and it comes with a promise, that's why this one, they call it the first commandment with a promise. Honor thy father and thy mother, that it will be well with thee, that you will have long days here on earth. God knew that a father and mother would instruct their child in such a way that they will be able to preserve their lives and keep themselves from trouble, and they will have good long life here on earth. A classical example that I would like us to read in the book of Judges would show this point. And then I hope that from there we can see that it isn't that God wants to put us down and take away our joy and freedom. God is interested in you. He's interested in me. He wants you to prosper, the Bible says. So if we turn to Judges chapter 14, it is the story of a man that we are very familiar with, Samson. Samson, his birth was announced by an angel to the parents. They said, you are going to have a son, and he will do this, and he will be a Nazarite unto the Lord. So this boy was born, he grew up, and one day in Judges chapter 14, from verse 1, the Bible says, and Samson went down to Timnath, and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, I want you to keep in mind that in those days, they didn't have the Bible written down for them. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman of Timnath, of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. So there is where Samson's problems began, right there. Because Samson never did listen to his father and mother. But the Bible says to honor your father and mother, to honor them, to listen to them, and to obey them. Because God has given them something that will help us and keep us and lead us in the right path. But at this point in Samson's life, he was beginning to take the wrong turn. And his father and mother said, can't you find someone else among our people? Why? Because God had given commandment that you shall not marry of the foreigners. Yeah? You will marry from the Israelites. But Samson wasn't interested in that. He wanted to get this girl from Timnath, and he went ahead and he did it. That's where his problems began. Later on, we find that Samson found another girl of the Philistines again, and her name was Delilah. And what did it cause to Samson now? Samson got Delilah, and he ended up losing his eyes, first of all. He lost his hair, his Nazarite vow. And he was led by a little child. That's what happened to Samson. If he had listened to his father from the very beginning, he would have known, if I want to get married, I marry from the children of the Israelites. And he would never have been in the trouble that he went through with Delilah. Last of all, he lost his life. He never lived long, Samson. I wonder what would have happened to Samson if he had listened to his father and never got involved with Delilah. We would be reading Samson's story different. Maybe it would say he died in his good old age, which brings us back to the promise of God in Exodus chapter 20, honor thy father and mother. So when father and mother gave Samson a commandment, they were not trying to restrict him. They were not trying to put laws and this and that on him to take away his freedom. They were actually trying to protect him from the enemy. But then Samson did not look at it like that. He thought maybe mother and father don't want me to have this girl. They're jealous of me or something like that. Or they just want to restrict, to control my life is what they are trying to do. That's not what they were trying to do. There was something in them. They knew that if he follows the word of God, it's going to keep him in the times of trouble down the way. But many times as Christians, we almost develop like an amnesia. We kind of forget that God, the word of God says, above all things, he wishes you to prosper. That's exactly what God wishes for you, brother, sitting here today. God actually wants you to prosper. The Bible says that he has good thoughts towards you. Yeah? So, if God has good thoughts towards us and he actually wishes for me to prosper, what's the matter then? Why am I not prospering? It means there must be someone else who's trying to hinder me from prospering. Not prosperity gospel that we are talking about. But God wants us to prosper. He wishes you good health. He doesn't ever want to put you here to be miserable. But for all those things to happen in your life, if you can believe that God has put his commandments to help me, to keep me in the way that is straight, because you can't just come to God anyhow. He's God. Remember, he made you and me. He made this whole world and this whole atmosphere that we have. It is God who did that. And he has his own way to say, this is the way you approach me. Remember when the prophet wanted to offer sacrifice to the Lord and the altar was broken. He couldn't just come and, you know, it wasn't going to work. There's a certain way of approach to God. And so when God lays his word out and he sends his prophets and they expound it and they say it and they say, just yesterday I heard the prophet saying, I can guarantee you that no bobbed hair woman will enter that eternal city. I'm like, my, imagine a prophet saying that. Yeah? So did he say that just to restrict so that sisters don't have the freedom to bob their hair or something? No, there's something about it that God has so much been interested in. He knows that for me to work in your life and this promise to be fulfilled, for your desires to be given to you, there's certain things that you've got to have in order. You just have to have certain things in order. Your attitude has got to be a certain way towards the word of God. Your life towards the brothers has to be a certain way. The way you conduct yourself has got to be a certain way. When you have all those things lined up, then the dynamic power of God begins to manifest in your life. It's like a car. You can imagine whatever car you want, but you can put 5 tires, 3 facing that way, 1 this way. It's not going to go anywhere. You've got to line the things in a certain way until they are all just in the right place. And then the dynamics of the car kicks in and the car moves. That's exactly what it is with us, with God. He has lined up his things a certain way and he has given us his word. And he's gone beyond that, in that he has taken the whole history of the people of Israel, put it in word for us so that it can be an example to you and to me, to see how did they do it for God to bless them. How did they do it when they received the curses of God? What had they done? So that we can also look back now and say, I will not be like Samson. I'm going to honor my mother and my father. And those promises of God will come to pass in your life. They have to, because God is obligated to his word. He has bound himself to it. And when you come the way of the word, whatever he has promised associated with that word, it has to come to pass. If it doesn't, you didn't maybe do it the right way. That's just God. That's how wonderful he is, in that he's put it all in his word and he's put it in the messages now. So we read all these messages and we hear the prophet. I don't think so, that the prophet would just come to say things for talk's sake, you know. I must finish Sunday school at 11, so I've got 10 minutes to go. I'm going to just say something to fill up the space. I don't think so. The prophet said, I wouldn't let you come here if I thought it wasn't going to help you. But he would say whatever he's saying because he knew it was going to help us. This is a man who would sit in his study and an angel would come from heaven. Can you imagine that? That an angel would come and the prophet would take a pen and the angel stand there and begin to tell him what to preach and he would be writing it down. If you listen to some of the messages, you can actually hear when the prophet is preaching and he comes to a certain point where he starts reading something. You can hear that, oh, he's reading now. And he reads, and then he says, You get that? You get that? Oh, I was happy when he showed me that. What was happening? That's how interested in you God is. And if such a man who had such a vindicated ministry would come and stand in the pulpit and preach a message and say, thus said the Lord, my brother, my sister, I think we would be people most foolish not to take heed of such a message. I really think so. So if he comes and he tells us of church order, you think that God just wants us to be like pieces on a chessboard and you are not allowed to do this? Or no, there's something about it. There is really something about it that God is interested in. And he says, sister, with those cigarette smokes, it will be difficult for you. Yeah? Or with this and that and that. What about when people are praying in church? What about when people are praying? He says, don't move around. Keep your eyes closed. The demons are moving from one person to the other. And can you imagine that? That's actually what happens in the spiritual realm. We don't see it with our eyes. So when people are praying, even here, no matter how humble our place looks to be, this used to be a hair salon. But we've taken it and we are using it for the glory of the Lord. And when it comes to time to pray, let's close our eyes and pray. Sometimes as deacons, we have to stand there at the door and watch nobody's taking something from somebody's bag when people are praying. And I really think that God provides grace to us to open our eyes sometimes to look at that, because we are doing our job. But when we open our eyes to just see things is in order, and then that's when you see sister so-and-so is moving around and people are praying. Where is the reverence? These are the things of God. And you expect that God will answer your need when you leave this place. But all you were doing is to break church order from the very minute you walked in here. My God, I feel very afraid that what has happened to reverence, where people would read the word of God and it says, honor your mother and father. My, and I would honor my mother and father because God has told me to do so. And I believe it was God who inspired the prophet when he was preaching. And when he would come into the church and he says, we should never do this and that here in this church here, because it's consecrated to God. Whatever you do after service in here is going to affect the next service. So if you can do that even here in the church here, in this hall here, what more disorder do you have in your life? To the point that you can't even respect such a simple, simple thing. Now, our facilities are not the very best. Other churches have got fellowship halls and what. But surely, saints, surely, when it is time to pray, we must close our eyes. When it is time to pray, we must close our eyes and pray. When it is time to sing, we must sing. We are not singing to Brother George or Brother James. We are singing unto the Lord. Can you imagine how important that is? He is the creator of heaven. There was nothing here and he spoke it. The very beginning of this, he is the one who done that. And he actually fashioned you and made you. But when we come before him, we think that, well, it's just brother so-and-so. No. This is God that we have come to worship here. And I think that it will benefit us if we were to take his word, take him at his word, and follow exactly what that word says. Because Samson later on find out that if he had listened to his father, all things would have gone well for him. He would never have gotten involved with any of those Philistine girls. He would never have lost his eyes. He would have carried out his commission, because he was commissioned to destroy that nation. He would have carried it out to such a level that when we read the book of Judges about Samson, we would be inspired and say, my, what a man that can keep rank. Yeah? The Bible speaks of the last days, that the day of the Lord is coming, and in those days his people will do exploits. There will be such people that the world will tremble before them. There will be such people that they will keep rank. They will not be double-minded. So when God tells them and gives them order that you, soldier, this is your place, they will defend that place with everything that they have. That's what is to keep rank. They are not the kind of people that today I am using the bazooka, tomorrow I want to be the radio man, and the following day I am forgetting the whole thing altogether. No. The people of God in the last days, they will be that kind of people. Joel chapter 2, They will keep rank. They will not be double-minded. So when they hear the word of God, and it says this, honor your mother and father, and you go home and somebody sends something else on Facebook that says something contrary to that, you are not going to be double-minded now and say, no, well, I've got to compare. You see, this great philosopher said this. The word of God says this, so, which this makes more sense. No. We believe the word of God, and that's the beginning of the matter, and that's the end of the matter. If the word of God says to me, jump, I'm going to jump today. If the word of God says, rejoice, I'm going to rejoice. If it says, come to the house of the Lord, when people gather, I will be in the house of the Lord. If the word of God, praise ye the Lord, I'm going to praise ye the Lord today. That is what I'm going to do. If it says, come with reverence before the Lord, I'm going to come before the Lord with reverence. Because the word of God has got to become me. You know, that's where we are going. It's got to become me. And the only person who's in the way to stop the word of God becoming me is me, the old me. So I'm going to put the old Brother Wilmore today out. And I'm going to stand there on my corner. And when Brother James comes to sing the songs with us here, I'm not going to hinder Brother James. I'm going to support him with all that is in me. The Bible says, serve the Lord with all thine heart. And so with all my heart today, I'm going to serve the Lord. With all my heart, I'm going to sing. And when the preacher comes with the word here, with all my heart, I'm going to take it in to praise the Lord, because I want to put my shoulder to the work that is going to happen here today. And I pray that you are going to do the same thing. And when we come into a place where we have one accord, remember I said, every time the same conditions are met, the same manifestation takes place. So if we come to a place today where we can come into one accord with the song leader, and all the musicians are in one accord with the song leader, and then the preacher comes and we are in one accord with the preacher, I am telling you, today can be another day of Pentecost again, the beginning of such a day here in Ireland. But what stops that to happen? The thing that stops that to happen is that, well, these guys are in one accord. They are trying to break into that atmosphere. But these ones here, they are thinking about the beans on the stove that they left at home. That one is thinking of a shift tonight at work, you know. And I'm thinking, where am I going to get money to pay for fees for my wife end of this month? No, we are not that caliber of people. We are the kind of people, the people of God. And when we stand on the word of God, we are not double-minded. It's gonna be the word of God or nothing for us. And I am going to stand on the word of God. And I pray that you stand on the word of God. And we will see the manifestation of the word of God this morning. May God bless you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you, Father, for your people. Lord, how you love us, Father, to bring us from different places and that we can be one in this place, O God. I pray, Father, that you be in our midst this morning, that, Lord, you would lead us, inspire the musicians, Lord, use them mightily, O God, that we may break into that realm, Father. And I pray that when the preaching comes, it will just do exactly what you wanted to do unto us this morning. May you be glorified, Father. We commit all these things into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.